So we're talking about Battlestar Galactica today?
Yes.
And Toasters?
Specifically the board game.
The board game, yes.
Okay.
So how are you today, Mr. Toaster?
Whatever, Toaster.
Hello, you're listening to The Flyover Effect. It's a podcast about startups, design, and all things internet. I'm Scott Rocketship, your producer and frequent co-host. Also appearing this episode are Dan Shipton and Igor Dobrosavyevich. We all work at BitMethod. BitMethod builds mobile apps and websites for ourselves and others. You can learn more about our company at www.bitmethod.com. If The Flyover Effect was a sitcom TV character, they would be freaking out right now because we just turned 30. Episode 30, that is. So make sure and tell us congratulations. You can do so by sending in an email to flyover@bitmethod.com, and while you're being so kind and telling us congratulations on our 30th episode, consider asking a question, sharing an episode idea, telling us what you want to hear about. We'd love to hear from you. flyover@bitmethod.com. Now, this episode actually needs very little introduction, but I will let you know that the crew from BitMethod and a few of our friends often get together for a game night out at Igor's house. Enjoy the show. Okay, so I'm just going to dive right in and give people the background on what the heck we're talking about, in case they don't know.
The other thing is, I don't know how much we have to talk about the background and the rules of the game for the discussions to actually make sense.
we'll give it our best right, shot.
Sounds good.
So, if you are not a sci-fi nerd, Battlestar Galactica was a TV show in the 70s, and I don't really know anything about it. But then it came back on the Sci-Fi Channel in 2004. And they had a miniseries, and then it ran for a few seasons. And the basic premise of the show, if you're familiar with Terminator at all, like kind of the Terminator mythos of the machines rising up and killing us, that is a similar background story to Battlestar. It's set in the future. There are machines called Cylons. We fought a war with them. They flew off into deep space. They were gone for like 40 years, and then they came back and broke past our defenses and killed everyone. And the new trick is that they look like people. And we can't tell if they're people or not. At least as far as I've only watched a few episodes now.
There's no way to tell. There's no tests that work. There's no, unless they give themselves up or unless you see copies of the same model to definitively tell that that's a Cylon. There's no way to tell human from Cylon.
Okay. And so I presume what we're going to get into today, the themes of the show involve trust, betrayal, deception, intrigue, all of that kind of stuff.
Human psychology.
Human psychology.
There's a game, too.
Mm-hmm. And so why it's come up, and I actually have finally started watching the show, is Igor has Battlestar Galactica, the board game, which is a very highly rated, well-reviewed game that we dove into. And it's actually pretty fun. The basic premise of the game is it's almost kind of, I don't know, murder mystery. It's like Clue for grown-ups. Someone is a Cylon. At some point, maybe not at the beginning of the game, there's a potential for one person to be a Cylon, but by the end of the game, at least one character, one human player, is a Cylon, and they have the chance to reveal themselves when they so choose. Other players can have their guesses as to who the Cylons are and try and put them in the brig or otherwise cripple their actions.
So the goal of the humans is to survive past a certain number of jumps. And the goal of the Cylons is to kill off the humans. So the essential premise is that you as a Cylon are supposed to keep quiet and act as a human, because if you are secretive about it, you can do more damage than if you're a revealed Cylon and, you know, are able to do all the actions of a revealed Cylon. So
So the game involves a lot of blaming each other or trying to pin down who the Cylon is. It's very tricky. Like, it's there's kind of a gut check every time you have to make a decision as to, like, maximizing potential versus minimizing risk, which's the most interesting thing to me. I've screwed up twice now and thought Dan was a Cylon when he wasn't, and taking an opportunity that was presented to put his character in the brig, which really kind of cripples his ability to help. But it's hard, because like it's like, okay, do I mitigate future potential risk by taking this action, but also mitigate future potential help? So you're balancing a lot of things at the same time.
So it's a game of psychology. So the meat of the game is figuring out who the Cylons are fast enough and trying to, like you said, mitigate the potential problems that they can cause. Because you're also playing, actually, in addition to playing against the Cylons, pretty much any card, any event in the game, is created to be against the humans. So you're also fighting the board game to survive and fighting chance to be able to get actually to the end of the game. So it's a game of psychology where you're trying to figure out a reason why the person sitting across from you is either a human or a Cylon. It becomes even harder when you have nothing to go on to believe that somebody is speaking the truth. So there is functionality in the game where you can look at particular players' loyalty cards. These are the cards that determine whether you're a human or a Cylon. And you're not allowed to show those cards to anybody. So if you as a human look at somebody's cards and you see that they're a Cylon, the only way to actually transfer that information onto everybody else is to tell them what you saw. But the problem is, nobody on the table knows that whether you're a human or a Cylon. So in turn, why would anybody believe you? Because the goal of the game, or the goal of the game for the Cylon, is to seed doubt and subterfuge and confuse the human player so that they essentially cripple themselves in the long run.
This is why I love the game, because like on its face, right? Like, all the humans have to do is not really care too much about the Cylons and just worry about jumping and getting the heck out of there. But we never do that, because it's like, well, there's a Cylon somewhere. And so, and the Cylons are doing their damnedest to spread like this, the ill feelings and discontent and all of this distractions. And then you get up.
Okay. To be fair, part of the trouble is that I think it mirrors the series very well, in that the like Cylons looking like humans is a new thing to them.
Yeah.
Right. Like, this is not something that it has been part of their universe for years and years. It's a brand new thing. Well, the board game is brand new to us. And yeah. So somewhat like I've my strategy has changed now. So like the next time I play, I'm going to be a little more cautious and a little more slow and kind of let the Cylons out themselves. The trouble is, having never played the game before, you don't know how much damage they can cause.
Yeah.
Which I think is a very apt metaphor for, I don't know, life, startuping, business, whatever, is that if you haven't taken your knocks, like if you don't know the potential, you know, if you can't really see the bottom of the well, if you don't understand how big the risk is, then it's going to weigh much heavier in your mind than it probably needs to.
But then it starts weighing on your mind just because you know something. It's fine when you don't know like what other players are and you only have guesses. But as soon as like two people start pointing fingers at each other, you're like, well, there's 100% chance that one of them is a Cylon and one of them is a good guy. And now do I take two?
So I have to do something about it.
Yeah, you're just like, there's a bad guy here. And it's so hard. Like, who are you trusting? Because like, you still have to work collaboratively to get through all of this, all of these situations. Like, we end up usually doing more harm than good. But now, like, see, now if we play again, you almost should put me in the brig, because statistics are saying, like, right? Like,
right.
If you're just going to, I don't know, whatever.
It's tricky. So, okay, so how, now that we've bored people to death with the rules of the game, how do we break this out a little more broadly? Like, what have we learned so far from several hours of screaming blind accusations at each other?
What I've personally learned is that I'm not as good at reading people as I thought I was. It's you're trying to take these cues from this game mechanic and try to apply them to a certain outcome. So deciding whether a certain player is a human or a Cylon. And the problem with that is, once a certain somebody has made up their mind, either way, whether the player is a human or a Cylon, anything they do or say can be interpreted in the light of what they think the other person is. So if I was a Cylon agent unrevealed, and there was a space battle going on, and I decide to nuke a Battlestar as a Cylon, some players will interpret that, well, he's obviously human because he's destroying the Cylon ships. But some players may interpret that as, oh, he's just wasting our nukes. We're going to jump the next card, and these Cylon ships didn't even matter at that point. So he just wasted a nuke so that when he reveals himself, the next admiral doesn't have these resources at his disposal, and on and on and on. There's you're trying to come up with things to say to make others believe you or either deceive them, but it becomes hard to prove something through actions in that particular game to state your point and get your point across so that people trust you. So winning somebody's trust is hard.
Like, you play the whole game in this big gray zone because, like, nothing is black and white as soon as you start playing, and it's very awesome and very disconcerting all at the same time because most of the gray zone, like, doesn't actually matter. It's all distractions. And so you stop fighting you stop fighting towards your goal and you start fighting each other. Like, and you like, for me, there's so many parallels, like, with teams and businesses and, like, how businesses can come together, and we both have very nebulous goals, but we can still try to achieve the same thing. And, you know, in business, it's nice because you know that the other person's not a Cylon, but you don't know what their internal plans are. You don't, like,
and what their motivations are.
What their motivations are, whatever they're doing, you could interpret 10 different ways. And that's all, like, you could even, like, draw it up to, like, the terrorist level, right? Like, we're so afraid of terrorists that, like, we're doing awful things to ourselves, right? Like, we're like, spraying people sitting on the ground with pepper spray because we've now somehow equated them with maybe they're terrorists or whatever it might be. Like, we have evolved to that point, or I guess devolved to this point where it's not about the terrorists. It's like this state of mind of mistrust and...
So one... Only being a few episodes in, one of the interesting dynamics in the show, and this is why I like Terminator a lot too. I'm a big fan of the Terminator mythology. I think what's really interesting is that so if you imagine like a real global political conflict in the real world, right? Like from the Crusades to whatever, like there's a lot of like these people hate these people and vice versa,
right?
Right, and so that like that's a true enemy right there. Those are just two people who hate each other. Whereas if you take the Battlestar mythology or the Terminator mythology, there's a group of the machines want a certain outcome. Like they have decided that human life is a threat, or, and I'm not too far into Battlestar, but I get the impression that they maybe even kind of hate the humans. Like they don't like their masters. And Terminator, it's more of a self-preservation thing. But the humans just want to survive. Like, it's, you know, they don't hate necessarily the Cylons. They don't hate the machines or the Terminators. Like, they're an enemy. It's a rallying flag. But the dynamic is interesting there when, like, one person is fighting for extermination and one person is just fighting for survival.
Yeah.
You know, and it didn't really, like, you know, so for 40 years, like, the humans weren't going across the galaxy, like, hunting down the Cylons. And, like, we have to find and exterminate these evil creatures. It's just like, hey, we're going to leave you alone and maybe that'll be okay. And so that gets kind of interesting in the game and just even trying to over-philosophize it and bring it down in the real world is, like, enemies versus obstacles.
Right.
You know, so like in the board game, if you're approaching the Cylon players as enemies, as someone that you have to beat or win or fight, you're going to accidentally put people on the brig. You're going to spend too many resources trying to rout out that enemy as opposed to just focusing on your own objective.
Yeah.
When in reality, the game, or I guess life in this case, was much harder and did much more damage to the humans than the Cylon did with any of their actions.
Mm-hmm.
So we just got thrown battles and battles against the humans, and you know, just one unlucky card draw after another depleted the resources before the Cylons really could do anything. They only took advantage of the board that was presented to the humans. They didn't actively really contribute as much to the destruction as the board did.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's a lot to, like, from our games when you first start, like, everyone gets basically two loyalty cards over the whole game, and you might have one Cylon card dealt into a huge deck of like 12, whatever. And everyone gets a card right away. And right away, everyone's just trying to jump, and everyone's just trying to go forward as fast as they can. And it's interesting because as soon as you get to that middle point in the game where all the cards are played, like, and you, like,
there's, it's guaranteed.
It's guaranteed that somebody is a Cylon. Gameplay just basically, there's a couple turns, and it's happened every time now, where, like, two turns will take an hour and a half because we're, like, we know that there are Cylons among us, and we are collectively trying to wrap our heads around what to do next and whatnot. And as soon as, it's funny, because as soon as we know who they are and they've outed themselves, then the humans are full, like, we're back on track and back on just trying to survive and get done. But it's when we become presented with, like, real information that we know something is imminent. We don't like when things are imminent, when something's going to happen.
One of the trickier elements for me, and I think just an interesting metaphor for life, is how much of the game depends on trusting yourself, yeah. Right? And so there's, I think the first time we played, Ty was a Cylon, right? Our support specialist.
Yes, halfway through, yeah.
Okay. And I hadn't played the game before, so I wasn't, you know, none of us had, but I wasn't feeling super confident in my understanding of the game mechanics. But at the same time, there's a mechanic that involves cards and points in certain categories where if you really pay attention and someone is not being careful, you can determine if they were, not necessarily if they were human or Cylon, but at least if they were trying to positively or negatively affect the outcome. Which I hope that's not too abstract for people who haven't played. But we play in cards, they're worth points, they go in, they're come from certain colors, and so you can kind of pay attention and see, you know, who's playing what. And I was almost certain that I'd seen Ty reveal himself by the cards he had played, but I wasn't sure. Like I knew it, but I didn't allow myself to know that I knew it. And so I kind of went along like, I think it's him, but I'm just not sure. And I didn't act on that information. And that was, I don't know, it was just an interesting little lesson. And then, you know, so if I didn't trust myself, I didn't allow myself to know that. And so then the next time we played, I thought I had similar information about Dan, right? I was kind of trying to count cards in the same way. And I was like, and that time I was actually less certain, but then I overcompensated. Right. And I was like, well, this bit me in the ass last time.
You screwed up last time.
Yeah, I screwed up last time. I don't want to screw up again. And you know, similarly, like the negative impact of being wrong was not catastrophic, but I still acted on bad information because I like screwed up before. And it's, I don't know. I like the things that games teach us about ourselves.
I think my favorite, player so far has been Ken, the first game we played, because Ken was a perfect Cylon. Like, it took us forever to figure out that it was him. He was just over there and he was just spreading so much discontent. Like, he was just,
oh, he was guilt tripped his way out of the brig.
He was guilt tripping his way out of the brig. He was not, like, he wasn't leading the charge against any person, but he was just helping it move along, helping it, just amplifying it ever so softly. That like we were just kind of all on each other and not like, and Ken was just sitting back and just going, well, like, I'm doing a great job.
He was good at dangling a carrot,
yeah,
you know, and this idea of like, oh man, we, you know, the last few things have been kind of difficult, you know, if we had him out then it would be easier,
yeah.
And just kind of kept playing that card. Like, look, I don't know. I'm not trying to make you guys make up your mind, but if you want help, I can't help right now. And, you know, you just hear that refrain over and over again. And eventually that's how people get themselves into bad situations and bad business deals, right? Like the sales guy calls up like the sixth or seventh or eighth time. And it's like, they catch you on a particularly bad day or after something is particularly difficult. And you, that one moment of weakness, you don't stick to your guns. And now you're signed up for some, I don't know, shitty insurance plan, or
cutting like a branch off your tree for $60.
Yeah.
I've been there.
Do we want to get into that story?
No, I mean, like, you want to talk about reading people, right? Like, I had this like nice little lumberjack looking dude come to my house on a Saturday. I was there by myself. I was taking a nap. I was just having a nice Saturday. And I've got this tree outside that needs cut down. Right. There's it had three big, huge prongs on it. Now it was like, we already cut one of the prongs off. It's only two. One of those is dead. Just needs to come down. This guy, lumberjack, comes to my door. I can see his little work truck out in the driveway. And he looks like, I have got a decent read on people. And like, I was kind of buying it. And he's like, oh, I want to cut your tree down. Or I want to take care of your tree. It wasn't cut your tree down. It was take care of your tree. And I'm like, sweet, I've got this problem. And he's like, and I see you've got this other stump in the yard. Like, I'll cut that stump off. It will be great. It will just, like, I will help you, like, $80. And I was like, no, like, whatever, go away. Like, I know better than to, but you are kind of convincing at the same token. He's like, 60. He's like, I'm just out trying to make some extra money on the weekends, you know. I'm like, I don't know. I'll call my wife. So I call the wife, and she's like, and I tell her, you know, this guy came up randomly on a Saturday, wants to cut our tree down. I'm like, what good fortune is that? And she's like, well, you always had a better read on people than, you know, than I did. So you just, yeah, if you think it's good, we should do it. Okay. So I go out and I, you know, sure, go ahead. And it was this one dude, he's going to take a whole tree down. I go inside, get my stuff, and go out to help him. And I come out, and he's got a meth head looking girlfriend or meth head looking chick with him that I didn't see before. And mm-hmm. I was like, oh.
What like, did I do?
Shit. And so the guy goes and he cuts one of the prongs down, and he goes over and cuts the stump, and the chick is talking to me, and he comes over and they're writing a receipt, and I'm like, dude, aren't you cutting the tree down? And he's like, no, like, I took care of it, you know, like that other one, like that other prong is healthy, it'll be fine. I'm like, yeah, but I want it down. I'm like, if I give you the other $20, will you cut it down? He's like, no man that's like $40, you know, like that's a bunch, that's a lot of work. And I'm like, you've only been here like 20 minutes. And now I'm feeling terrible because I got that sinking feeling, and I'm like, never mind. And he goes over to finish cleaning up, and the chick is cutting me a receipt, and I pull out my check to pay them, and all of a sudden, oh my god, you've got a check? We can't take a check. And the dude comes back. What's the matter, honey? This guy's trying to give us a check. A check? What are you talking about? A check? I can't take a check. My landlord's coming tonight. And I
wish you guys could see Dan's gestures right now, too. This is good.
I knew I was burned then.
I miss the good old days when you could just say, oh, my parents aren't home.
Yeah. Oh, well, I was like,
my wife's not home.
I'm like, my wife's not home. Like, he's like, don't you have cash? I'm like, no, man, I don't have cash. Like, this is what... This is 2011.
See, the shittiest part of that whole situation was that the guy knew where you lived. Yeah. Like, he wouldn't have gotten a cent out of me where anywhere else, but he knows where you live. That right there is worth me just shelling out $60 and getting off his radar and, mm-hmm. and saying thank you very much for cutting off my limb on the trees.
Oh yeah, they're like both, you know, they've got me flanked and like,
well,
they're
for all you know,
on.
This is the guy who broke into your car. You know, a few months back, if that, you know, or somebody knows your neighborhood that well.
Like. And I'm like, no, you, like my wife, like my wife has a, like, I can't get cash. Sorry, dude. Mm-hmm. And he's like, well, I guess I'll take a check, but the check place is going to kill me when I go to cash it, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, you know, at that point I knew it was had. So I'm just like, listen, dude, I'll write this for 10 more and then you're going to leave and you're never going to come back. And like, we had an understanding. Like, he knew he had got me, she knew she had got me, and I knew what was happening. And so we didn't say anything about it except for, I'm going to write you this check and you're not going to come back and bother me again.
Cylons.
So what was your first instinct? Was your first read on him, like, this guy seems all right?
I could only see half the truck, right? Like, he had a work truck. And it was a legit work truck. He like handed me a card right away. What I didn't notice was on the back, it was actually an index card that he had taken marker to and made himself a right.
Good job, Dan.
But like he was very cordial. He was very like everything he was doing was right. Mm-hmm. Everything he was doing was right. He was dressed the part. He looked like he'd go climb the biggest tree. He had a harness on, all this bullshit, right?
So what you're saying is he's done this before.
He's done it, like...
And you weren't his first mark.
No, and, you know, there was that point in the conversation where, like, a check, or, you know, well, first it was like, oh, I took care of the tree, and like, his tone of voice changed, and then, the whole check thing, right? Like, a check, you're just, like, my landlord's coming tonight, like, I need to... Really do like you just said that you were out getting some, like the whole thing.
Yeah, that I much in a much smaller scale. Like I hate all those little life lessons, like just you just get hustled by somebody, yeah, you know, like for just spare change. Like there's, I don't know, I was just downtown, this is years ago, I was downtown by the old library, what's the World Food Prize building now, and some woman came up and she was dressed pretty nice and had a, you know, had a purse with her and all this stuff, and was just gave me this rigmarole about like her car being out of gas and blah blah blah, and that she just, you know, she was on her way to the gas station and just needed a couple of bucks, and it all sounded pretty believable, you know, and I just kind of sat there and I don't know if I was just in a good mood or what was going on. Like I gave her the money and didn't really question it. Like I didn't feel pressure, I didn't feel scared by this person, like just gave her the money and she went off, and I just sat there, and after she left then sat there thinking about it, and the story like totally didn't add up at all, like which direction she said she was going, like, there wasn't a gas station within, you know, the nearest one was just blocks and blocks and blocks and blocks away, and it totally made no sense. And the frustrating part, and then I don't know about you guys, but the ongoing struggle of my life is all those times when I wish I had taken time to be thoughtful and just didn't, you know, like where I wish I had just sat there and thought about something longer, or I wish I had just sat there and not felt pressured to respond or give an answer or make a decision. And even back to the board game, like that's part of it. You got a bunch of people around the table, you know, like
you feel like the fate of the game is like this next decision. That's why like those two turns in the middle take like over an hour.
Mm-hmm. And the drama of the story almost makes you feel like you have to make a decision quickly.
Yeah.
Too. Or just even the fact like, oh, geez, it's 11:30.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm going to be a hero.
We've been playing forever. Blah, blah, blah. Like I have to make this decision now. And I don't know. That's often a struggle for me, is just finding the time to think about things.
Well, I think the trick is to realize when you actually have the time to think about it as well. Because sometimes you just don't. In business, you just don't. In business and life, you just don't have the time to think about that decision. And sometimes you just have to go with your first instinct. And that's what sometimes make a difference between somebody succeeding in business and life, you know, having that good first gut instinct over and over again and going with it. Because you are going to be able to make decisions much faster, and if they end up being good decisions over and over again, you know, sometimes instinct beats thinking and wasting time and you know, waiting, you know, weighing that thing, because sometimes it's not worth the time. So even if you make the wrong decision, you've already wasted too much time. Even if it was a wrong decision, you could have maybe made it up or fixed it, or, you know.
Like that guy, he could have been selling me anything else and I would have told him to get lost. I had a problem. He had a solution. I had already cut that other limb down and it took us all afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm just like, happenstance, like, let's...
Yeah, why not?
Like, here's my read. It looks good. Let's do it. And it was completely wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But you'll never give any money to anybody knocking on your door again.
No, and I had to tell my wife, hey, like, you know that like dramatic setup that you had?
Whoops. Mm-hmm.
Well,
whoops.
You know, and it's not even like you got some value out of it, right? Like he cut down something. So like the real problem there, like that's part of it, is this guy, he had every intention of hustling you. Like that seems apparent, right?
Yeah.
But like the other problem there is that you entered into a business relationship that seemed very clear cut to you, right? But there is no contract, there's no lawyer, there's no warranty, there's no guarantee. It's just dude in his harness and his truck. And so for like, he basically changed the deal on you.
Yeah.
Right. And that's what you'll see in business all the time, right? It's like, oh, I thought we understood each other. Well, not so much. And that's where the hustle comes in, is he's got you on the hook now. Like, he knows where you live. He's at your house. He's already, you know, he's done some work, which makes it harder for you to say that you didn't get what you were supposed to out of it. And yeah, I imagine he's been practicing this one for a while.
Oh, yeah.
That's rough.
Anyways, how can we bring this back?
Something back on Battlestar would be good.
Something back to the board game.
So, okay, so for me, it's my biggest personal...
Yeah, three quick lessons, and I think we could do it.
So my biggest personal takeaway that I've learned from Battlestar is, I haven't gotten there yet, but it's gotten my thinking about trusting myself, like, and sorting information that I know as a fact, information that I'm inclined to think is a fact, and information I'm not sure about, and just being a little more cautious and thoughtful, I guess, in sorting that information. Because I think the game would have... Now, I wouldn't have necessarily made the right decisions, but I think if I'd slowed down a little and told myself, okay, I'm forcing myself to decide if I know this to be true or not, you know, for like, not letting something be this wishy-washy information in my own mind, would have at least let me act more confidently and do the things I was going to do, you know, a couple of turns earlier. So that's where I'm kind of learning, is just on self-knowledge and identifying facts for myself.
Mine would be the keeping your goal in mind and not straying from that, not letting things distract you, and reminding others that that's the case. And, you know, like... You know, because it doesn't matter if you're Cylon or human in the game case, like, you still know what the right thing is to do, and that's what you need to always be doing.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, it is more of a seems an obvious lesson that I either seem to learn over and over again and then forget about it, or it's just getting solidified, but it's that it's easy for somebody to say, tell you they're going to do something or say something, but they can't be judged on their words. It needs to be actions, and the problem with that is... You can only judge actions over a period of time. It takes a while versus taking somebody's word for it and just acting upon that. So that's where the trick becomes in the game. Is,
talk is cheap.
Yeah, exactly.
Even talk in space.
Cheap. Yeah, exactly.
There's our episode title.
That's all
I got.
Good title.
Yeah. That's a good title. All right. Also, Battlestar is a pretty good show. I'm excited.